The gathering words are printed in the order of service. We are here. We come into this place together to challenge one another, to bear the cost and know the joys of love, to celebrate love's presence. Let us worship together. Welcome to St. Andrew's on the Terrace this morning. A special welcome to visitors who are with us today, and especially too to Mark Stamper, our new music coordinator, who's joining us as of today, which is lovely, and also to John and Margaret Harper, who are going to be welcomed as not new members, but officially welcomed as members. John chose our opening hymn this morning, and Margaret has also chosen a hymn, so it's good to have their voices in the service in this way too. After church this morning, we have our parish brunch, so please do stay and join us. It will be in the hall behind the church day, and even if you haven't brought anything, there's always plenty to share, so keep conversation and getting to know one another. Kia ora koutou. Let us pray. We come into this hour of reflection, community, silence, prayer. We bring with us this morning our troubled thoughts, our heavy concerns, the light moments of our week, our joys and our sorrows. We come to be nurtured and sustained in our faith, to hear words of comfort and inspiration, to connect in with our innermost sense of spirit, God within, to be in touch with what is true and real and matters most. We come to be in community with one another, in our differences and our variety. Together we seek to know the way of Jesus more fully, to learn what it means to be loved and to love. So be with us, loving Spirit, as we sing and pray, celebrate and reflect together. We pray together the Jesus Prayer printed on the laminated card. Eternal Spirit, life giver, pain bearer, love maker, source of all that is and that shall be, Father and Mother of us all, loving God in whom is heaven, the hallowing of your name echo through the universe, the way of your justice be followed by the peoples of the world, your heavenly will be done by all created beings, your commonwealth of peace and freedom Sustain our hope and come on earth. With the bread we need for today, feed us. In the hurts we absorb from one another, forgive us. In times of temptation and test, strengthen us. From trials too great to endure, spare us. From the grip of all that is evil, free us. For you reign in the glory of the power that is love, now and forever. Amen. Each Sunday at St. Andrew's, we light the rainbow candle. It is a symbol of our inclusive community, and in particular, we celebrate the presence of children among us. And Kezia and Jasper are going to share this mahi today. Here we go. Who's going to light it and who's going to blow it out? You light it. Thank you. Ooh. All right, and Dawn has a story for us this morning. I always feel when Dawn is doing the children's talk that probably everybody would quite like to come and be in the front row. So feel free.
A solitary little house nestled among the foothills of a mighty mountain range. The woman who had lived there alone for many years was known for her skill as a weaver. A light often showed out from the little house down the valley, for she worked late at night at her loom, earning money to make ends meet. On one such night, she was working away there. She heard a sound outside. What was that? She stopped her work and listened carefully. Was it a cat or a mouse? She stayed there, hoping it was only the wind. But no, there it was again. A tinge of fear touched her heart momentarily. Who could be out there at this time of night? But she was a woman of great courage and faith. And so she picked up her candle and she went to the door. But before she opened it, she called out, "Who is it? And what do you want of me?" A quiet, clear, tiny voice sounded out, "I am a mountain dwarf, and our queen has recently given birth to a baby princess, but we do not quite know what to do with her. Will you come and help us?" The woman, who was also known for her skill as a midwife, opened the door. "Yes, of course," she said, "I will help you." And so, gathering up her basket, she set off following the little dwarf up the hills. The way was long and difficult. And when at last they reached a cleft in the rock, the little man slipped through easily. But the woman had to bend almost double to get in. Once inside, however, she looked around. "Why," she thought, it was an enormous cavern. "Why," she thought, "my whole house could fit in this room." Beautiful glistening crystals of salt shone in the walls of that cavern. She was taken to a, and in their pinkish glow, she could see a throng of little people waiting anxiously. They stepped aside to make way for her, and she was taken to a little side room. After she had attended to her mother and child, and they were nursing comfortably, she presented, as was a beautiful kitty, a finely woven kitty. And then she asked to be taken home, for it had been a long, long day. A crowd of dwarfs accompanied her back, and on the way, from time to time, one would dart forward and pick up a crystal of salt and drop it into her basket, so that after a while it became quite heavy. At last they reached the entrance once more, and the dwarves thanked her kindly and bid her farewell. On her way back down through the mountain, she stumbled once and something fell from her basket, but she did not stop to retrieve it. She was just too tired. She went into her house, placed the basket on the table, and went straight to bed. In the morning, when she got up to have her breakfast, she looked over at the basket. Something was glowing there. She went over and picked up a fragment to look at it. It was pure gold. Remembering the piece that she had left behind as she travelled back, she hurried out, but alas, it was gone. Nevertheless, she was now well off. She was able to have her dilapidated old house renovated and refurbished with brand new tiles for the roof. Often, in the years that followed, she would look up at the mountain and wonder if the mountain man would come again. But he never did, for do you know, a baby dwarf princess is only born once in 1,000 years.
Thank you, Dawn. I'm going to ask the children to stay in a little bit longer this morning as we have two new members being welcomed. But first, let's stand and say together the blessing for the children. We send you to the Rainbow Room soon to hear stories, ask questions, and have fun together. We bless you. Amen. I'm going to ask Margaret and John to come forward, please. It's lovely to have you both here and been actually part of us for 2 years, is that right?
Yeah.
And on rosters, already doing morning tea and readings, yes, but never been officially welcomed, so. And we loved reading a little bit about each of you. It's so interesting, and I know that Margaret was already approached this morning with a question about, what scientific question?
Diatoms,
there we go. So it's always good to hear about people, isn't it, and what they bring to this community. But I would be also interested in knowing what it is about St Andrews in particular that means that you feel at home here. And I might ask you to come up here because so people can hear you. Is that all right?
Well, I like a church where Lloyd Gehring's thoughts about the relationship of science and theology are respected, and science is not merely considered an irrelevant, dishonest culture. Thank you.
Lovely, thank you.
If you read the little blurb, you'll find out why I left the previous parish. I ought to say Margaret spotted the problem before I did, but that doesn't explain why we finished up at this one. And the main thing that got me here was Susan's sermons. However, there is one little problem that both this parish and my previous one had. And it is that when somebody new arrives in the parish, they really like being able to read people's name tags, but only half of you are wearing them.
John said he was going to take the opportunity, as this might be the only time. So. All right, we have a small gift for you today, which Kezia and Jasper are going to present you with, and their mama. Let's stand and say the words of welcome, which are printed in your order of service. We welcome you, Margaret and John, as fellow travellers in this journey of faith. We affirm our community as one where each of us shape our lives in response to what we understand of the gospel. We are glad to have you with us. Margaret's chosen the next hymn, which is Brother, Sister, Let Me Serve You. And during the singing of the hymn, the children will go to the Rainbow Room.
Thank you.
reading is from Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 20, what we know as the Beatitudes, plus a few extra things. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly, I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." The contemporary reading is actually from 1848, from the German theologian and forward thinker, I think we could call him, Ludwig Feuerbach. "We must replace the love of God with the love of humanity as the one true religion. The belief in God by the belief in humanity. That is, that the fate of mankind depends not on a being outside of it and above it, but on humankind itself. My wish is to transform friends of God into friends of humanity, believers into thinkers, devotees of prayer into devotees of work, candidates for the hereafter into students of this world. Christians, who by their own profession and admission are half animal, half angel, into people." Well, the word in Scripture for the word among us, for the word within us, we give thanks.
I always find it interesting to think about each particular gospel and the community and context to which it was directed. Each year, as you know, we take readings from one of what are called the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and this is the year of Matthew. Matthew's community probably dates from the years 80 to 90 CE, so after the fall of Jerusalem at the hands of the Romans in the year 70 CE. The Jewish community, as we can imagine, was most likely coming to terms both with the practical need to rebuild the temple itself, but also reflecting on what this event might mean theologically, how it affected their faith, their daily practice, and sense of identity. Matthew's Jesus is painted as a rabbi, someone who is to fulfill the ancient laws, not to break away from Judaism, but instead to develop and enrich it. And this is the sense we have from our gospel reading today. Jesus says, "I have come not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it." The writer is perhaps seeking to soothe tensions in the community around the place of these followers of Jesus. And so the writer paints Jesus as belonging firmly within the Jewish tradition. Another interesting area where Matthew's perspective is seen and how it colours the narrative is how the Pharisees are depicted, caricatured really, as legalistic, narrow-minded. Probably at the time there were real tensions between the followers of Jesus and the Pharisee group, but the writer has in a sense rewritten back in time the story to add this negative lens. This characterization of groups like the Pharisees have led Christians in the past to develop quite anti-Semitic views. I remember even at Sunday school learning about the Pharisees were taking the rules too far. They were seen as nitpicking. And that the Sadducees, do you remember this, were sad, you see, because they didn't believe in the resurrection. I wonder what some of us might be called in that case. In fact, commentator Ron Allen says that Pharisees were a reform movement who encouraged people to practice the deepest qualities of the Jewish life in all their affairs. They centered Jewish religious life in the Torah and encouraged obedience, not in a legalistic way, but as a response to the great gift of grace. They sought to interpret their ancient tradition in the light of contemporary insights and issues, which sounds a lot like what we try to do here with our own faith and tradition. I think teasing out this background information is so important because it sets our gospel readings in context. And so when we read, we're encouraged to practice righteousness that exceeds that of the Pharisees, we can read that as a historical conflict and one that is really no longer relevant to us. So let's instead focus on what this passage is saying to us here and now. As Wendy said to me before the service, she said the readings seem to be all little bits put together, and that's quite right. They're little sayings collected together by the writer to make a kind of sermon or a teaching passage. We are to be salt and light, the salt of the earth and the light of the world. I was interested to read in my latest cookbook, the cookbook says that salt is actually not a flavour, but a flavour enhancer. I thought that was interesting. It reduces bitterness and increases sweet and sour. And contrary to what we've often thought about in church, not hiding your light under a bushel, in fact, light is not something that we look at directly for its own sake. Just as we don't eat pure salt, we don't look into the light. Instead, both salt and light give flavour and illuminate the things around it. It makes the things around it seen and tasted. We might even say the purpose of salt and light is to go unnoticed. which is a kind of humbling idea, flies in the face of so much of our popular culture, which encourages people to be known, be seen, get out there. Lots of young people just want to be famous. So the call is for us to be very ordinary in following our Jesus way. As the hymn we will sing soon says, "Will you come and follow me if I but call your name? Will you kiss the leper clean and do such as this unseen?" And even though the Beatitudes were actually the reading for last week, I included them again. Thank you, Wendy, for the extra long reading today. Because I think they belong in this passage about salt and light. What are we to be in our ordinary, unspectacular ways? We are to be what Marcus Borg calls followers of the way, to be comfort to those who mourn, to be pure in heart, doers of justice, merciful, peacemakers, people of humility. In my mind, this passage and its parallels in other faiths forms a foundation of faithful living, whoever we are. Each world religion has its own set of guidelines to follow along these same lines. The Dalai Lama says, "It is my fundamental conviction that compassion, the natural capacity of the human heart to feel concern for and connection with another being, this constitutes a basic aspect of our nature shared by all human beings, as well as being the foundation of our happiness." And while we don't want to deny major differences between major religions, of course, that would be naive and disrespectful, but I think there is room for what we do share in common as well. Recently, I've so enjoyed reading Lloyd Gehring's book, Reimagining God, and it sent me on a trip down memory lane to the Knox Theological College when I was training in the late 1980s. There, I was introduced to the thinking of Friedrich Schleiermacher, who believed that within each person was what he called a God consciousness, and that belief in God developed out of human experience rather than by subscribing to a set of beliefs given to you about God. I loved his earth human-based thinking, much to the consternation of my then systematic theology professor. He suggested that I was in danger of panentheism, which I took to be a great compliment, but which was not meant as one at all. In any case, Lloyd's book also includes a chapter on Ludwig Feuerbach, whose writing, as Wendy said, might not strictly speaking qualify as a contemporary reading, seeing as it was a lecture given in 1848. But the thinking is, I think, very contemporary. The fate of humankind depends not on a being outside of it and above it, but on humankind itself. My wish is to transform friends of God into friends of humanity, believers into thinkers, as Margaret was saying, where there's room for science, candidates for the hereafter into students of this world. The gospel passage from Matthew invites us to be followers of Jesus' simple and difficult way, to be salt and light, enhancing others, illuminating the presence of love in our community, being catalysts for understanding between people, allowing others to shine. As a continuation of the reflection in a way, let us sing the hymn together from Iona, "Will You Come and Follow Me?" we're going to share our offering, and as the offering is being collected, Mark is going to play his own piano arrangement of Great is Thy Faithfulness. Thanks, Mark. Thank you, Mark. I think we made a good choice. We say together our offering prayer. We bring our offerings of food and money this morning, along with our skills and time. May the practice of our faith be like salt and light to those around us. Amen. This is our time for community notices. A reminder to Michael, where are you? Michael was going to give one as well, so come forward.
I've had an experience this week that I felt the strong urge to share this morning. We see literally thousands of films, and there's hundreds of thousands of films we don't see. But this was a movie that was made by a man from Plimoton, Tony Sartorius, the director. Tony articulated so magnificently the life of a person that we possibly all know by name, Helen Kelly. And she was a trade unionist. She was a person that gave her life in the service of others. And she embraced cancer. And she and Tony struck an incredible, trusting, loving relationship. She let Tony into her life with his cameras and his technologies. And this film, I found, frankly, one of the most inspirational experiences for a long time. It's being released this Thursday. There's a premiere tomorrow night, if you wish to attend. The tickets can't be bought at the door. They're through a website, Eventbrite. They cost $25 each. The 50% of that money will be going towards the living wage movement. So I share with you, in case somebody here might really enjoy it as much as I did. The values in the movie are synonymous with what I enjoy at St Andrews.
Morena, my name is Fiona McDougall. I'm taking the service in 2 weeks' time and have ended up doing a wee bit of organisation around the in-between time when we hope to eat between the morning service and the celebration at the Iona Cross on the Petone foreshore. After some discussion, I have booked a cafe called Caffeined in Tony. There is also the option of a picnic. I did go down the foreshore, and there's not many seats there, and it is a bit wild and windy at times, but there is an option there. However, I've tentatively booked 25 seats at Caffeined, and next week I'll bring a bit of paper, and if you want to go, you can sign up just so that I can confirm numbers with them. Please talk to me after if you have any queries. Thank you.
I'm Pat Booth, and a member of this community. There are some special plums at the back of the church. They're called Louisa plums, and they're from our orchard in Aotearoa. There will be more at brunch as well, but I thought for some of you who might not come to brunch, you're welcome to help yourself. They're very juicy, and last year I brought them down with plastic bags and was gently reprimanded. So there's a box of tissues over there for you to wrap the plums in so they don't get too squashy on your way home. You're very welcome, and there are lots more for lunch.
Good morning, I'm Trish McBride. Three things, quick. It's a year since our friend Margaret Megwin died. I have been minding an artwork of hers. It's something like that by that, and is a spiral on the life process. It's in my car. I can't keep it. I'm reluctant to send it to an op shop. If anybody's interested, see me afterwards. The second thing is that Johnsonville Uniting have a system whereby the tags off bread bags can be converted to wheelchairs for poor people in South Africa. I'm not sure of the actual process, but that's how it goes. I'd be happy to receive any to pass on to my neighbours. And the third thing is that Antonio and Darla sent their love and best wishes. They're happily wandering around Brazil, visiting family members, including Grandpa's 103rd birthday. So, yeah, that's fine. Thank you.
Hello, my name's Graham Howell, but the message is actually from Lois Robinson, who's chairing our 2020 committee, and it's around the trip out to Petone in a fortnight's time. Last week we were given these, hopefully there may be some others around the back, that gives a bit of a history of St Andrews from 1840 through to 2008. But basically, in a fortnight's time, just to continue on from Fiona's message, is we're going out to Petone Beach. The people from Te Kākano o Te Araha Marae will be part of welcoming us to take part in the commemorations there. I've been told that there are three potential buses which will get to the Petone foreshore if public transport is the option, and they are the Flyer, which is the 91, generally orange, and then there's the 110 bus and the 83 bus. I think they're half hourly on a Sunday, and certainly Lambton Quay is where they pull up, and if that's the method you need to get back into Wellington City, then they stop at the Wellington Railway Station, and there's ample other buses which go to various suburbs within the city if that's what you need to get home after the event. After that, what we are calling a book of memories will begin to be put together, and that's memories of ourselves and people that have preceded us in this parish, putting it together in a book that we will publish, but it may not be that many printed of it. So fortnight's time after the service here, we'll be proceeding, those of us who want and are able, out to the Petone foreshore where, sorry, I should have said, our forebears landed in 1840. So thank you.
Kia ora, everybody. I'm Lynn Dovey, Parish Council Convener. Just like to add my voice to Katrina's to welcome Mark this morning. I think we're very fortunate, Mark and Peter and I were having a chat before the service. Suddenly, you know, doubling our capacity is really wonderful for music in the church. And we were talking about a date that I want you to put in your diaries, and I will put a notice in the order of service, Sunday evening, 19th of April. We are going to farewell the organ, because the next day it will be dismantled. It will take a week to dismantle it, packed up and sent to the factory where it's going to be repaired. So we are going to have a kind of a going away party for the organ. So put that date in your diary, probably around 6 or 6:30, and we'll bless it as it goes on its way, it and the organ builders. Also on the music theme, after church, just very quickly, if the singers would like to gather here in front, just an opportunity quickly to meet Mark, and then you'll have a chance to chat with him during brunch. And I have forms for nominations if anybody would like one. I have received several. There are several out there, so please get them to me. If you could get them to me by 9:30 next Sunday morning, that will give us a chance to get the ballot papers completed. We are going to have more than four, so we are going to vote by ballot. And I'll be asking a few people to be the counters, be the ballot team, if you like, next Sunday. So, thank you.
Let us pray. O God, Yahweh, Allah, Te Atatu, our father, mother, sister, and our brother, we come to you this summer morning to focus our thoughts as prayers of thanks, as prayers for ourselves, and as prayers for others. We give thanks that this week we've celebrated our National Day, Te Tiriti Te O Waitangi, a founding document of our country of great significance that has been often stamped upon, misinterpreted, and overlooked, and still causes grief, pain, and injustices. Yet, as the moderator of our church said last year and again this year, there is hope, deliberation, intentional genuineness about building together and moving forward as a united nation. Help us remember, because of our founding document, we are a bicultural nature with many cultures, to tangata, the people. Let us understand rather than criticise, remain patient instead of jumping to conclusions, and affirm the inherent worth and dignity of every person moving forward as one nation. We give thanks for the chance of meeting up with old friends and memories of years past during our holidays and summer that has varied throughout New Zealand. May we continue in 2020, acting as the salt, enhancing the light among us. We give thanks for our heritage as families and the heritage of St Andrews for 180 years, which we celebrate especially this month and year. We pray for the people who have been nominated for the Ministry Settlement Board, that they may be guided to find an appropriate minister for our church. We welcome John and Margaret as official members of our church and Mark Stamper as our new music coordinator, and look forward to the contributions they will make to our faith community. May we continue to be a congregation that reaches out to all members of society and speak out for those who are marginalised. As we turn to our circle in prayer, let us keep in mind nationally and internationally the need for consideration, care for others, and love already shown by so many working in these areas, and ask that care and consideration for all humanity continue to grow. At this time in our world of many nations, let us make sure that panic does not overwhelm reason, care, and consideration. May we be students of the world. And from our St Andrew's prayers today, we hold in our heads and minds Margie and Claire. Today, as Margie is inducted into the parish of St Michael's, Melbourne, we hold in our mind the workers in China affected by the coronavirus, especially those working for BXY Wholesale in the city of Yuan. And we pray for the USA. And in our circle of prayer, we think today of the people of the United Arab Republics and Oman, and all those working to protect and promote the rights of migrant workers in the United Arab Emirates and Oman. We remember the detainees of Manus and Nauru Islands, yearning that their cases be resolved, and the people who have joined them in isolation. In New Zealand, we remember those in Parliament, and today we name Gareth Hughes and Raymond Huo, List MPs. Here in the Central Presbytery, we pray for the leaders and people of St Timothy's Presbyterian Church, Te Tahi Bay. And we will join together in the prayer for St Andrews. And if you are visitors in this church, please take this as a prayer for your own church. Let us join together. Renew your people, God, and renew our life in this place. Give us a new spirit of unity with all who follow Christ, and a new spirit of love towards all people. Bless the city in which we live, that it may be a place where honest dealing, good government, the desire for beauty, and the care for others flourish. Bless this church, that what we know of your will may become what we do, and what we believe, the strong impulse of our worship and work. Amen.
today's blessing was chosen by Margaret Harper, and I happily discovered it's also one of my favourites. As you go into your week, may you be sustained by the community you find here, the presence of love in your life, and may you be surprised and delighted in moments of connection and grace. Deep peace of the running wave to you. Deep peace of the flowing air to you. Deep peace of the quiet earth to you. Deep peace of the shining stars to you. Deep peace of the Son of Peace to you. Amen.